Random thought. Is wishing someone happy birthday on social media, like on Facebook or IG or even on Twitter, you know, is it the same as if you have that person's number just sending them a text? Or is the text a little more personal and that means more?
For me, I think a text is a little more personal. Mm-hmm. And means more. Reason why, I just had a friend of mine today. Is like, hey, so no happy birthday. And I was like, what? And I went to Facebook and I realized her birthday was 3 days ago. And I'm like, shit, I forgot. But I don't look every day on Facebook to see whose birthday is. I'm not paying attention. Right. But if I actively text you, like, that means I'm paying attention that it's your birthday, that I remembered, or that I'm like scrolling through Facebook. Hey, it's Yanni's birthday today. Hey, man, happy birthday. You know, so I think a text means a little bit more than just, you know, a little happy birthday gif on your social media timeline.
A long time ago, I just reached out to a bunch of people and I'm like, hey, when's your birthday? When's your birthday? When's your birthday? And it's just some ingenious idea I had one day. And I put all their birthdays in their contacts in my phone. So, of course, on their birthday, I get the notification. If I open up my MacBook, it's going to show up the day before and go, hey, tomorrow, so-and-so's birthday, so-and-so. So when it pops up, I don't go to social media. I literally text people first. The interesting thing about this is, and this is why I asked this question, because I had a bunch of people who celebrated birthdays just recently, and it just reminded me of a time when someone said, sent them the text, and she said, oh, thank you, that is so sweet, you remembered. Hey, do you think you can go on Facebook and say that? Like, what? And I'm like, but this is more personable, right? This is more personal. This is me to you. I have your number. Like, I don't get into arguments with people on social media that I know personally. If you're mad at me, call me if you got my number, right? So same thing with birthday wishes. Like, hey, happy birthday to you, not for the world to see.
Okay, question though. Do you think it's because of your radio persona that she wanted to say, oh, Yanni Rude, wish me a birthday? And if that's the case, you need to send her a link to your Cameo, and she needs to pay for that.
If only Cameo was around back then. See, this was years ago. So I was still in Charleston at the time. So this had to be at least 8 years ago. And I've been gone from Charleston maybe 6 years now. But yeah, this had to be about maybe 7-8 years ago, right? Maybe nine. Mm-hmm. And I realized that when she said that, I was like, oh, you want people to know that you know me and I remembered your birthday. And I'm like, that to me, what that gave off was, hey, baby, happy Valentine's here. And you give it to her at the house. And she's like, no, send it to the office so everybody else can see it.
That's just messy. But I mean, here's my other thought about this. No one gives a damn about your birthday except your close friends, your close family, your loved ones. So be thankful that if anybody took the time, whether it be on social or text, to say, hey, happy birthday, be thankful. Yeah. But no one gives a shit, you know, about it. And calm down. I think it's great when I log in on Facebook on my birthday and I see people wish me happy birthday on LinkedIn. I think it's so cool that they took the time to do it. And these people I've not talked to in years. You know, but I'm just not like, you have my number. You could have texted me. I don't care. You know, as long as like my parents, my brother, you know, you know, certain people I expect to hear from on my birthday.
You have a birthday? When's your birthday?
You know when it is. There's certain people I expect to hear from. But outside of that, I'm like, well, so what? What's the big deal? And I think if you get all butt hurt because you didn't get enough likes or mentions on social media for your birthday, well, you're the problem.
If I know you, then I will do that. And it's okay. If I'm on social, yeah, I may hit you and say, hey, happy birthday there or whatnot. But if I know you personally, I'm always going to hit you and just go, hey, happy birthday or birthday blessings or, you know, toss one back.
Well, the difference is last night when we talked about that, I was in different headspace. Today, I'm sipping whiskey. And so when I sip whiskey, it's a total different tarot. So Friday is going to be a whiskey night since we are recording on Friday because you got to travel this week instead of our normal Sunday. But today is going to be a whiskey day. And so, yeah, my opinions differ a little bit after a little touch of the dark liquor.
I will say, hold on to your horses. I've got the editing pen right here, so I can make sure there's a lot to edit. But there's no telling what Terrell's going to say as the whiskey-induced start to season two. Welcome to the show. I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 53, our first one of the new season. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
This is an interesting discussion that I saw happening on social media, right? And then the Morning Hustle actually tackled this week. And it was, the question was, which would you rather, dinner with Jay-Z or $500,000?
You had me at $500,000. I'll take $500,000, Alex.
You're not thinking of the conversation with Jay-Z, huh?
No, I don't, because dinner with Jay-Z would not change my life. Mm-hmm. $500,000 can change somebody's life. Now, maybe if you were an aspiring rapper and this is your shot, right, to try to impress, you know, spit some lyrics to Jay-Z, get signed on. I get that.
Right.
But anybody who would rather take a dinner, I don't care where the dinner was. It could be Red Lobster. It could be Ruth Chris. Doesn't matter. I don't care where the dinner is. You're going to go have dinner with Jay-Z and pass up getting $500,000? You're a fool.
So there are a lot of people that you would consider fools then, because like this one person who was like, dinner with Jay-Z would allow me the opportunity to be at the table with a boss, the opportunity to network and have a conversation that would challenge me, motivate me, and inspire me even more to what God has planned for me, right?
That sounds ignorant, because God was trying to give you $500,000, but yet you just wanted to break bread and have a conversation with somebody that's a boss. So you need to pray to a different God. God gave you the opportunity. Here's $500,000. You chose to go.
God, give me a sign. Here.
Yeah.
No, here's the sign.
Yeah. No. God. Imagine this. The devil tried to give me $500,000, but Jesus stepped in and offered me red beans and rice and fried chicken with Jay-Z.
There's somebody who said dinner that might spark a business worth more than $500,000, right? Or somebody else said dinner. When we're done, I'll be a millionaire. I'm still trying to understand how it works.
A lawsuit? You're gonna say he touched you? Like, what happened?
You know what? Maybe there's a strategy to this. You know?
Yeah. I'm like, what, how are you just gonna sue him for what? He didn't pass the pepper.
Pay me to stay quiet, Jay. You know, it's interesting because I saw someone else also go like, all right, so you're going to take this dinner with Jay as opposed to $500,000. When what if he just sits down at the table and is like, all right, yeah, I don't want to talk any business. Who says he's going to give you any knowledge? Who says he's going to drop any gems on you? He may be quiet. He may just, whatever. And there's somebody else at the table. Maybe he talks to them all night. No, all you got to do is eavesdrop. And, you know, there are people who say, like, look, I'll take the $500,000 and listen to Jay-Z interviews.
Yeah, but you're right. It's not like Jay-Z's going to sit there and break out a laptop and say, hey, so do you have a business plan? What is it? Here's what you want to do. Here's a contact. Call this person. Tell them Jason. That's just not happening. That's just ridiculous.
Exactly.
$500,000 in a hand, and then you turn that money and flip that and become a millionaire. You know, exactly. But don't think that having dinner with Jay-Z is all of a sudden going to be this, you know, you're going to walk away from that dinner, being able to shoot beams of light out of your fingers and be able to, you know, create businesses and be super successful. That's just stupid.
I thought the drop the mic moment for this was when Tidal, you know, remember Jay-Z launched Tidal, him, Alicia Keys, a whole bunch of artists, they launched Tidal. Tidal tweeted, take the $500K. If the business
Hell
he started
yes.
tells you, take the money, why are you even thinking about having this dinner with him?
Hell yeah. I'm tempted to post that on my social and just see what my friends think, because
this would be interesting.
I would have a hard time understanding why somebody would think dinner with Jay-Z is worth more than $500,000. And if they
exactly.
think that, because for him to give you a business plan and all that, that's not a 1-hour dinner. You're not spending the night with Jay-Z. It's 1 hour
right.
dinner. And what knowledge you gotta get out of 1 hour? There's seminars you can go to. You don't get that much knowledge. And then
exactly.
you go to weekend seminars and you don't walk away with this knowledge to become a billionaire. So I'm just curious. And I'd be curious to know like what the education levels were of the people that thought meeting Jay-Z, meeting a boss. As soon as you said, you know, because he's a boss and God, whatever. I was like, okay, that told me enough. right there. And that's me those, being judgy. But yeah.
Those people that would type your and your. They're there and there. But I thought the title had a good mic drop moment, but I thought this was also great too when somebody else tweeted, dinner with Jermaine Dupri or half bushel of crabs. Yo, the internet is undefeated. You understand?
In that case, I'd take dinner with Jermaine Dupri.
You know, it's we are recording this on Friday, which means tomorrow is 9/11. 20 years since that fateful day. Mm-hmm. Do you remember where you were when you found out what was happening?
Yeah, I was asleep. Mm-hmm. Because I had went out and hung out with a friend, mm-hmm. and came home really late, like about 3 a.m, sleeping.
That's and early then, nowadays, back in those times.
Back in those times, that was early. In my 20s, that was early. Now, that's not happening. But I wake up because my phone rings. It's like 11:30, 12. Mm. And I'm just like, hello? And she's like, are you watching what's going on? I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, you haven't heard? And I'm like, no, I'm just waking up. So she goes, you need to turn the TV on. And so I turn the news on. I'm watching. And I think the first building had fell. I don't think that the plane hit the second building. So if anybody out there is judging times, I don't think that
both planes hit before the first building fell.
Right. But when the second tower fell, right?
Yeah, so both planes are already by the time you woke up, then both planes, because if you're talking about 11:30, you're at central time, so that means it was 12:30 this time. And I don't have the timeline in front of me, but both planes hit before any building fell.
So I'm guessing around, but I remember by the time I turned it on, the first building had already fallen, and then the second building. I watched that, and I'm like, ooh, yeah. Wow, this is happening. And it was very surreal because you're just like, you know, when you watch movies on TV, you see a lot of destruction. So I think we're desensitized in a way.
Yeah.
But so it didn't hit me emotionally at the moment. Mm. It wasn't until the more news I saw and then start to seeing, and there was no Facebook back then. So you couldn't really see a whole lot of people's interactions. And then I had to go close the restaurant that night. I had to go get dressed and go to the restaurant. And so at the time when I was a restaurant manager for Applebee's, you couldn't have the volume on the TV unless it was like a presidential address, there was something more like either with the country, like a global emergency, but you couldn't like have the game on and have the volume on Applebee's based on the contract that they had. But because of that, we could have the volume on. And so everybody would just stand around and just stare at the TV for days and just watch to see what we're going to do. It was crazy. And then immediately after that, coming from a military family, my next thought was how many friends, family are about to get deployed? To go fight a war. So it was wild, man. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
So I was working in Charleston at the time. And I was actually on PTO. So I was in North Carolina. The kids were up, kids being my siblings. And I woke up and you know what? So back in those days when we were smoking our Newports, what'd you do when you woke up? Went outside and smoked your cigarette, especially you ain't lighting up at mama's house. You want to be able to make it through the rest of the day. So I go outside and I get to my car and I light up a cigarette and then I turn on the radio and Russ Parr's on the air on Foxy 99 in Fayetteville. And I hear him talking about it. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? And so I put out my cigarette and I go back inside and the kids are watching TV. And I change the channel. I'm like, no, we got to go to the news. And I see this. By this time, the second plane had already hit. So I have no idea what it felt like to see that second. I don't know. To hear people talk about it, watching TV, because you go to TV because you see there's something happened there, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, as you're watching it, you see this other plane just coming out of nowhere, which you know, because I've seen the replays of it. And the emotion I feel watching that is a little different than what it would have been live, because it would have been a state of disbelief, and you heard that from the announcers, right? From the anchors on those morning shows. And I think the important thing for us in radio, when it came down to 9/11, was the fact that that day was what made companies across the country put TVs in the studio. Again, I was out of town, but our morning show was on the air. They had no idea what was happening. And to hear that nowadays, you're like, how did they not know? Because show prep was different then. Social media was, MySpace wasn't even kicking like that. You know, well, Black Planet, yeah, well, Black Planet was still, that was a whole other story. That wasn't about news. But the fact is, it's like social media wasn't what it is today. So the news traveled a lot slower. And it took somebody calling them to go, hey, do y'all not see what's happening on here? And they're like, what are you talking about? So they went somewhere else in the building to TV, turned it on and went, holy crap. And then they had to kind of get the news that way and share that information with the listeners.
But I could imagine the people who are at home that have family members that work in there. Mm. And you're watching this happen. Mm. And you have no idea. You have nothing. You can't, no communications, whatever. And then all the different stories of people that were texting and calling their spouses from the planes that were getting, I mean, all those different stories just hit you, just hit you hard. Right. And then, you know, kudos to our first responders, you know, because this is what their job is. Mm-hmm. Right. And you and I, we know each other a long time. I don't think any of us would run towards a building that's about to collapse.
Right.
This is what they're trained to do. And the amount of sacrifice they did for the ones they lost, but then also the long-term health issues for those that did their job, that sacrificed themselves and just have to suffer years later without getting any assistance. There's so much to this to unwrap, but you know, it's one of those things that I hope as a nation that we never forget and don't use it as just some bullshit kind of, you know, talking point or political point to say never forget.
I'm sure Ted Cruz did something crazy this week. I'm absolutely positive that he did.
Well, this is a comment about, and I think Ted Cruz actually said this last week, but this is regarding our pulling out of Afghanistan. And you've seen all the stories about there's still American soldiers or American citizens that are still there. They got left because the last flight was out because we had that August 31st deadline. And so Ted Cruz goes up in arms that, you know, America does not leave U.S. citizens behind. Now, as I recall, when it was snowing and freezing ice in Texas, he left to go to Mexico and left a bunch of American citizens behind and didn't give two shits about it.
He left y'all at home, though. I will say that.
Without power and light and water.
But you were home. He said you don't leave them in a foreign country. But if I leave you at home, at least you know your way around the house. Whether there's lights or not.
Yeah. In the cold and no food, but you know where you're at. Yeah. You're good.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
You're not in hostile territory.
That's my thing for Ted Cruz this week. You know, Americans do leave people behind because you left us behind in Texas when you left to go to Cancun to get away from snowpocalypse, which there's nothing wrong with you going away to Cancun if you can afford it. But you lied. And I think you're just a horrible person. And Texans, we need to remember all this. Don't ever forget the snowpocalypse and vote Ted Cruz out.
And I appreciate your efforts to make that happen. And the fact that each week you come in and you make your case. And, you know, it's always great. It's great that you do that. Unfortunately, Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus. The problem is you're going to have enough people that agree with him to still vote him back in. California was in the news recently because of...
California is banning stealthing. Now, stealthing for the older folks on this is removing a condom during sex without verbal consent.
I actually thought it meant no sneaking around an ex's house, but okay, it's, obviously it's not that. It's something else. Okay.
No, this is when... You know, you're both acting as responsible adults, and then the dude is just like, this just doesn't feel right. I know what I'll do. And take this off without the person's consent. Now, here's what's great about this, in my opinion. So this will allow the victim to actually sue the offender, you know, in a civil suit for damages, including punitive damages after the amendment to the civil code. And I think about Texas, right? Now that we've just banned abortion and all that, this is one step that I think Texas needs to take and say, this is a way to hold the man accountable. So you stealthed me, you got me pregnant, Now, legally, I have to have the baby here in the state of Texas. But now this is a way that they can sue the man and hold him accountable. So, you know, Governor Abbott, you and Greg, you know, you and Newsom need to talk. Talk to Gavin, figure out how we can make this happen here. Because I think that would be a win-win for the ladies. Because right now, the women have been slighted on this bill that we've done here in Texas. We've totally wronged women. It's ridiculous because we're not holding men accountable. So kudos to California to figure out a way to hold men accountable for doing this stuff.
Two things on this. One, does that include crowning, which is the unintentional removal of the condom because it bursts and it fits like a crown at the base of the... and two, the other part is Governor Abbott's not going to do this because he defended this whole bill, this abortion bill they just passed by saying, well, you know, there's no option for abortion after 6 weeks for rape because what we're going to do is we're going to get all the rapists off the street. Shouldn't you have already been doing that?
How's you going to do that? This sounds like a Minority Report with Tom Cruise where in the future we see you're going to do a rape. So we're going to go ahead and get you off the streets now.
I swear, man. You sometimes you just got to wonder what's going through politicians' heads, and you just realize that a lot of it just falls on this bullshit. And there's enough of it out there going around. Here's one that was sent in. Happened in Illinois. The shoplifter. Mm-hmm. So there's three people who went into a store, snatch and grab, right? The grab and run, or whatever the nickname they have for it.
Snatch and grab.
So, snatch and grab, there you go. Sounds like something else. sounds like a Trump meeting.
Reminds me of a game in elementary school we used to play called Catch, Kiss, Get a Little Bit.
Never played that one. Jesus
yeah,
Christ,
we did that.
Teaching you kids in school.
Shout out to Adams Hill Elementary School, San Antonio, Texas.
They're like, please, no, don't say our name. Don't say our name. Shout out to the principal, so-and-so. And my favorite recess teacher.
Mr. Prince. Principal Mr. Prince. I remember.
And you had a great career. Sorry it's gone now. you know, so here's what happened with this. They're running out. There's one girl that you see in the video. And she's carrying a shitload of pants, right? She gets to the door, tries to open it. The door is locked. The car takes off. Why? Because coming down the lane is a cop car. She drops the clothes. She takes off running. Cop comes out. Looks like a slow cop. But since she's in her Sha'Carri Richardson mode, he was able to catch
her. No, she wasn't. She wasn't. She was in her Sha'Carri Richardson mode after she smoked a sack. She was not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what's going to happen with that story. Like, are they going to go after the people that drove away in the car? And then the other thing I want to know is, like, what's their relationship like now? Is it going to be like, hey, girl, I saw you was arrested on TikTok. Are we good?
And I saw this here. They're calling her Coffin Karen. In a store, and you've worked in the stores before, people who don't want to follow rules, but it's a little different this time with the mask mandate. And this woman refusing to get to wear her mask, but then purposely coughing on people.
And I've been in that Save-A-Lot. I used to live about a mile and a half to 2 miles away
from it's Save-A-Lot. Okay, that explains it.
Yeah. Yeah, when I lived in, or Super Saver, I think it's Super Saver. But I used to live in Lincoln, Nebraska, about 2 miles away from this place. I know exactly where it's at. I've been in there twice because they have a liquor section. So sometimes I go to the liquor store there, but I never really shopped there. Mm. So it doesn't surprise me, but that's just ridiculous. If you don't want to wear a mask, fine. But why are you going to just harass people wearing a mask and then go up to them coughing on them? Like, so remember we talked about this when the pandemic first started. Back in the day, you know, somebody would sneeze, you weren't thinking of it. Now somebody sneezed when the pandemic started, everybody's just like, oh shoot, you got COVID. If you ran up on me to purposely cough at me, that's throat punch right there.
Oh yeah, dead to automatic. Throat. Automatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel threatened, like the guy did in that Sam's Club. I feel threatened. You know, but I will say this, and I don't like to defend crazy, right? But was she provoked? Because we see the video from the perspective of the people who were being coughed at and coughed upon.
Right.
But when they saw this woman without the mask, did they try to approach her and say, excuse me, ma'am, where's your mask? Why are you not wearing a mask? And is that what happened? She goes, back the fuck up off me.
I don't know, because here's the thing is, the question is, and I'd have to look this up, is in Nebraska, is it a state, you know, did they make it a state law similar to how we did back when first everybody had to wear masks in public places?
Right.
And I believe they did in there.
Mm.
But I think what some places are doing, because last year when they forced everybody to wear masks and you had all these viral videos of people losing their shit, Right. They're not really making it as mandatory. So here in Texas, some places I've gone to where it says, hey, masks recommended, but it's not like required. So you can see people in an HEB grocery store, some with masks, some without masks. And so I'm not sure where we were with that. But even for her, if you don't want to wear a mask, walk away. And someone say something, walk away, go get a manager, and now make them look bad. But to do the whole acting like you're coughing on them, that's on her.
Yep.
She could have easily just walked away, just, excuse me, I'm going to go get milk, whatever, and just ignore them. Like, why engage? And maybe that's what the pandemic has done, is we're so confrontational with each other, you know, rather than just saying, hey, whatever they're dealing with, that's their thing. I'm just going to go on and get me some juice. I'm going to this aisle five, mind my own business. Like, why even engage with that?
The interesting thing is that engaging, whether they started it with her and her coughing in them was her reaction to them engaging with her first, or it was just her saying something and just coughing on them anyway, regardless of what happened, she's feeling the wrath of this because she worked for SAP, and they were like, yeah, not anymore.
Well, and this is why when we first started doing this podcast, and I talked about on episode 52, my fear of going viral, is I don't want to say the wrong thing, or at least what people perceive to be the wrong thing, go viral for a negative reason, and then I get fired or whatever. But also, I'm a realist in my day-to-day life. I don't lose my shit because everybody has a camera phone. Why would I like lose my shit over something as little as that in a grocery store or a long wait at a restaurant, cold French fries at McDonald's? Like, the things that you're seeing people get fired for are you're so stupid. And so you deserved to be fired. When you got to go on those either racist rants and whatever else, it's like, it's just so little. And so for her to lose her job, and it's not like, you know, it's not like she was a cashier at, you know, S&P, right? She has a career. To lose
a client. A client partner at SAP.
Yeah, so to lose all that just over a mask is stupid.
There's no reason to go that far. You got to know, just like when you're drinking, you know your body tells you, that's the last drink.
Yeah.
For me, I stop when it tells me that. There's some people who go, I think I can do more.
Keep the party going.
This is one of those cases where that just, I think I can do more.
Now, I'm thankful that there's video cameras, the way people can get caught, but that's just stupid. You wasted a whole lot that you worked to build over a mask in a grocery store. And keep in mind, she didn't live there.
Right.
Right? She's there.
She lived and worked in Arizona. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't even live there. So you're doing all this shit while you're on vacation and you don't even live there, and you're talking shit. Kind of like the dude from Cleveland, Ohio, that went to Mississippi.
To Gulfport, Mississippi.
Right. I'm like, you don't even live there. Like, who goes to be Billy Badass in a place they don't live? I don't understand that.
You know, here's the interesting thing about this. Because here we are starting season two with Coughing Karen. And remember, we started this entire podcast with season one with, you know, Central Park Karen.
Yep.
So I've got to ask you. How long do you give Coughing Karen here before you say, okay, she's paid her dues and she's free to come back to society?
I say the same thing I said about Central Park Karen, is that I don't condemn any of these people for life. I think they did something stupid. Whatever was going on in her world, they did something stupid. Now, based on her actions going forward, would determine, I think, we can welcome her back into society. But we can't just say that these Karens did something, thus you're always a Karen, you're never good.
Right.
You got to say that, hey, you had a Karen moment. Now you took some time to realize, wow, I messed up. I got some counseling. Yep. I got some therapy. Mm-hmm. I've grown. And now you can welcome them back into the fold. You don't want to live in a world or society where all the Karens we gather up and put them on an island on their own, because they're going to figure out a way to start taking us over.
Put them in shipping containers like iRobot.
Yeah, they're going to figure out a way to like take us over and be like, here's what we're going to do by our powers
combined.
I'd like
to speak to the manager. Oh, my God. Let's get out of here, man. What you sipping on?
Woodford Reserve. It's a Woodford Reserve weekend.
Ah, nice. Yeah, I'm on my Four Roses small batch.
Yeah, that's your favorite.
But the single barrel is my favorite. But the small batch is a little more cost effective, so sometimes I'll get that. I did come across something new, too. I'm going to try it probably next week. I may have it next week. I'll try that one next week, a new one. I need to do some research on it before I speak on it with you, because I know how you are about your bourbon. So if I speak on it without the proper research, you know, I don't need all that judgment up in here. It's supposed to be a safe space. I'm Yanni Rood.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, be sure to send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.